Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the podcast where we dig deep into the chips, silicon, and systems powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, your go-to for silicon development expertise. Today, we've got a packed episode. We're talking chip stocks, TSMC breaking records, a wild V100 mod that'll blow your mind, H100s going to space, and Samba Nova doing some very interesting things with older hardware. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off, we've got an interesting investor-focused question making the rounds. NVIDIA versus Cerebras, which discounted AI chip stock, offers better value right now. Now I know some of you are pure hardware nerds, and the word stock makes your eyes glaze over. But stick with me, because this is actually a really fascinating lens through which to understand where the market thinks the AI chip industry is heading. So let's set the stage. NVIDIA, you all know NVIDIA. They are the 800-pound gorilla of AI compute. H10s, B100s, the Blackwell architecture, they're basically the default answer when anyone says, I need to train a large language model. Their market cap has been astronomical, and even after some pullback from their peak, they're still one of the most valuable companies on the planet. Cerebras, on the other hand, is a very different animal. They went public relatively recently and represent what I'd call the radical rethink school of chip design. Their flagship product is the wafer scale engine, and when I say wafer scale, I mean literally the entire silicon wafer is the chip. Most chips are tiny little dies cut from a wafer. Cerebras said, nope, what if we just didn't cut it? The result is a chip the size of a dinner plate with over 4 trillion transistors and hundreds of thousands of AI cores. That's a fundamentally different architectural bet than what NVIDIA is making. NVIDIA's approach is essentially make really powerful individual GPUs and connect a bunch of them together with high-speed interconnects like NVLink. Cerebras says, what if you eliminate the need for that inter-chip communication entirely by making one massive unified compute surface? The trade-off is yield. When you're making a chip that uses an entire wafer, any defect anywhere is a much bigger problem. Cerebras has engineered around this with some clever redundancy tricks, but it's still a manufacturing challenge that's genuinely hard. NVIDIA's approach, by comparison, is more manufacturable and more flexible. From a value perspective, the question analysts are wrestling with is, does Cerebras have a large enough total addressable market to justify its valuation, and can they scale fast enough to compete in a world where NVIDIA keeps shipping new generations? NVIDIA's moat isn't just the hardware, it's CUDA. It's the software ecosystem, it's years of developer tooling that makes switching genuinely painful. My take? Both have merit depending on your time horizon and risk tolerance. Cerebras is a high conviction bet on a specific architectural approach. NVIDIA is more of a the AI wave keeps rising, and they're the surfboard bet. For hardware enthusiasts, though, I'd say watch Cerebras closely. Their benchmarks on certain inference workloads are genuinely impressive, and architectural diversity in this space is healthy for everyone. What I find most exciting about this comparison is that it signals the market is maturing. We're not just asking, will AI chips be important anymore? We're asking which approach to AI silicon actually wins. And that's a much more interesting question. Okay, moving on to story two. And this one is all good news if you're a fan of AI hardware momentum. TSMC just posted a record quarter. And not just a little record, a full-year growth outlook that's now been pushed past 40%. 40% annual growth for one of the largest semiconductor manufacturers on Earth. That is a staggering number. For context, TSMC, the Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company, is essentially the world's most important chip factory. They don't design chips, they make them. Apple's A-series chips, TSMC, NVIDIA's GPUs, TSMC, AMD's processors, TSMC, they are the foundry that the entire semiconductor industry depends on, and when TSMC has a record quarter, it's a direct reflection of what's happening in silicon demand globally, and what's driving it. AI, specifically, the insatiable appetite for advanced process node chips that power AI training and inference workloads. We're talking 3-nanometer and now 2-nanometer class chips, which are the most cutting-edge processes TSMC offers. These are extraordinarily complex to manufacture, which is why almost nobody else can do it at scale. Samsung is trying, Intel is trying with their foundry ambitions, but TSMC has a lead that is very hard to close. Think of process nodes like this. The nanometer number roughly corresponds to how small the transistors are. Smaller transistors mean you can fit more of them in the same area, which means more compute power per watt. For AI workloads, which are essentially just billions of matrix multiplications happening over and over, more transistors per area equals better performance. So everyone wants the most advanced nodes TSMC can offer. The 40%+ growth outlook is also significant because it suggests the AI buildout isn't slowing down in any meaningful way. There was a lot of chatter earlier this year about whether hyperscaler CapEx, that's the capital spending by companies like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and Meta on data centers, was going to decelerate. TSMC's numbers suggest the answer is a pretty emphatic no. What this also signals is that TSMC's capacity expansion plans, they've been building new fabs in Arizona, in Japan, in Germany, those investments look increasingly justified, building a leading-edge semiconductor fab costs on the order of $20 billion or more. You don't make that bet unless you have a lot of confidence in long-term demand. And right now, demand for AI silicon is basically TSMC's best growth driver by a wide margin. There's a geopolitical dimension here, too, that's worth flagging. TSMC's dominance and the concentration of advanced chip manufacturing in Taiwan is something governments and militaries pay very close attention to. The push to diversify manufacturing geographically, the CHIPS Act in the U.S., subsidies in Europe and Japan, is at least partly driven by the recognition that the world's AI compute capacity running through one geographic location is a strategic risk. Bottom line, TSMC's record quarter is a barometer for the entire AI hardware ecosystem. And right now that barometer is reading very, very high pressure. The chips keep selling, the fabs keep running, and the investment in next-generation silicon is not slowing down. Great news for the industry. Now, this story is my personal favorite of the episode, and if you're a tinkerer, a hardware hacker, or just appreciate someone going completely off the rails in the most brilliant way, you're going to love this. Someone has taken a Tesla V100 SMX, a data center GPU from 2017, and hacked it into a PCIe card using a custom-printed circuit board and 3D-printed cooling. And the whole thing cost about $200. Let me explain why this is extraordinary. The Tesla V100 SMX is what's called a socket or SXM form factor GPU. It's designed to plug into special server backplanes. Think of it like a proprietary slot that only fits in specific, very expensive enterprise servers made by NVIDIA partners. It's not a consumer graphics card. It doesn't have a PCIe connector. It doesn't have a display output. It's not designed to be put into a regular desktop PC motherboard whatsoever. But the V100 is also, at its core, an incredibly capable piece of silicon. It was NVIDIA's top-of-the-line data center chip when it launched. It's got 16 to 32 gigabytes of HBM2 memory, depending on the variant. That's high-bandwidth memory, the fast stuff. And it still has genuinely excellent tensor compute capabilities for running AI inference workloads. So here's what this hacker did. They sourced a decommissioned V100 SMX, which you can now find on the used market for absurdly cheap, hence the $200 price tag, and they designed a custom PCB, a printed circuit board, that essentially adapts the SXM connector to a standard PCIe interface. Then they designed a 3D printed shroud and cooling solution to keep the thing from turning into a very expensive space heater. And the result? A fully functional PCIe-compatible V100 that you can drop into a regular workstation or server. And here's the punchline. Running AI inference benchmarks, particularly for large language models, this thing holds its own against modern mid-range offerings. Because the key bottleneck for LLM inference is memory bandwidth and memory capacity, not raw compute clock speed. And the V100 has a lot of high-bandwidth memory. So for loading and running model weights, it's actually quite competitive. This is such a beautiful example of what I think of as the hardware second life phenomenon. Data center equipment gets refreshed on aggressive cycles. A GPU that was too slow for training workloads might be perfect for inference. Equipment that's too old for hyperscalers gets sold off for pennies on the dollar and ends up in the hands of people who find creative new uses for it. There are actually companies building businesses around this. Refurbished data center GPU clusters running older generation hardware for inference at a fraction of the cost of renting H100 time. It's genuinely economically interesting. A V100 at $200 running inference workloads that would cost you significantly more per hour on a cloud provider. The math can actually work out. For anyone who wants to try something like this, I'd say the barrier is still pretty high. You need solid PCB design skills or the willingness to buy someone else's adapter board if they commercialize this, and 3D printed cooling has its limits. But as a proof of concept, this is fantastic. It shows that there's still incredible value locked in obsolete data center silicon if you're willing to be creative. Absolutely love the story. Okay, from the basement workshop to the literal cosmos, story 4 is about NVIDIA's H100 GPU and its journey to space. IEEE Spectrum is reporting that H100 GPUs are being deployed in space-based data center applications. And yes, that sentence is as wild as it sounds. So let's talk about why putting a GPU in space is hard, because it's not just a matter of bolting an H100 onto a rocket. Space is a genuinely brutal environment for electronics. First, there's radiation, cosmic rays, and solar particles can flip bits in memory, cause logic errors, or permanently damage transistors in ways that just don't happen at sea level.
This is why, traditionally, space-grade electronics are specifically hardened against radiation, which adds massive cost and usually means they're several generations behind consumer chips in terms of performance. Then there's thermal management. On Earth, you cool a GPU with fans, heat sinks, liquid cooling loops, all of which rely on convection and gravity to work properly. In space, you're in a vacuum, convection doesn't work the same way, and you have to use radiative cooling, which is much less efficient. An H100 at full load consumes around 700 watts. Rejecting that much heat in space is a serious engineering challenge. And then there's the vibration and shock loads of launch, which can be mechanically destructive, and the vacuum environment itself, which can cause outgassing from materials that are perfectly fine on the ground. So why do it? Because the demand for on-orbit compute is growing fast. Earth observation satellites generate staggering amounts of data. Processing that data on the ground means transmitting it all down through a limited bandwidth link. That's slow and expensive. If you can process it on the satellite itself, you only transmit the useful results. Same logic applies to communication satellites doing routing, encryption, and signal processing. The fact that someone is putting H100s commercial, off-the-shelf H100s, into space suggests a few things. Either they've done serious work to harden them against the space environment, or they're operating in a regime where they can tolerate some failure rate, or they've got the thermal management figured out in a clever way. Any of those options is technically fascinating. This also connects to a broader trend of commercial space infrastructure. Companies like Starlink have shown that you can build and deploy satellite constellations at scale with commercial components and aggressive cost management. Applying that philosophy to on-orbit compute, treating satellites more like flying data centers, is a logical next step. The implications for AI specifically are interesting. On-orbit inference means you could have satellites running computer vision models in real time, detecting ships, tracking wildfires, monitoring agricultural fields, and only downlinking actionable intelligence rather than raw imagery. That's a meaningful capability improvement over what we have today. NVIDIA in space. I genuinely did not have that on my 2025 bingo card, but here we are. All right, last story of the day, and this one is a fascinating tale of collaboration and hardware optimization. Intel-backed AI chip startup Samba Nova has apparently found a way to breathe new life into aging NVIDIA GPUs in their latest benchmarks. The Register has the details, and it's a really interesting peek into the world of heterogeneous compute. So Samba Nova is a startup that makes what they call a reconfigurable data flow unit, or RDU. It's a fundamentally different architecture from a GPU. Instead of organizing compute around a massive array of programmable shader cores like a GPU does, the RDU is designed around the idea of data flow computing, where you configure the chip's architecture to match the specific pattern of operations your AI model requires. Think of it this way. A GPU is like a really enormous Swiss Army knife. It's got tools for everything, and it's extremely flexible, but not every tool is perfectly optimized for every job. An RDU is more like a custom tool made for one specific set of tasks, less flexible, but within its domain, extremely efficient. Where it gets interesting is that Samba Nova isn't positioning their hardware as a replacement for NVIDIA GPUs. Instead, they're positioning it as an accelerator that works alongside existing GPU infrastructure. Their latest benchmarks apparently show that pairing Samba Nova's RDU hardware with older NVIDIA GPUs, things like A100s, which are starting to age relative to H100s and Blackwell, can produce inference performance that punches well above what the GPUs could do alone. This is a really smart go-to-market play. Here's why. There are enormous quantities of A100 hardware deployed in data centers right now. Companies bought them during the last wave of AI build-out, and they're paid for, they're installed, they're operational. But as models get bigger and more demanding, the A100 is starting to feel the pressure. What do?
Ripping out and replacing all that hardware is massively expensive and disruptive. Samba Nova is essentially saying, don't throw it out, add our hardware alongside it, and we'll make your existing investment work harder. That's a compelling pitch for an enterprise customer who already has tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of NVIDIA silicon installed. The math of adding a relatively modest incremental investment to extend the useful life of existing hardware can be very attractive. The Intel backing is also worth noting. Intel has a strategic interest in alternative AI hardware ecosystems. They make their own Gaudi accelerators, but they also benefit from any development that chips away at NVIDIA's absolute dominance. Funding a company that makes NVIDIA hardware more capable sounds counterintuitive, but it's actually a way to reduce the urgency for customers to upgrade to the latest NVIDIA generation, which buys time for Intel's own AI hardware to mature. From a pure engineering standpoint, what Sambanova is doing with Dataflow architecture is genuinely interesting.
The insight that not all AI workloads need the same compute pattern, and that you can get significant efficiency gains by matching your hardware architecture to your specific workload, is a real one. It's the same insight that drove the development of TPS at Google. Why use a general-purpose GPU when you can build something optimized for matrix multiplication? I'll be watching Sambanova's trajectory closely. If their benchmarks hold up under real-world deployment conditions, this could be a meaningful player in the inference market. And in a world where inference is quickly becoming the dominant AI workload, because training happens once but inference happens billions of times, being good at inference matters a lot. Really compelling story to end on today. And that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered chip stock valuations, TSMC's record-breaking quarter, a brilliant V100 hardware hack, H100's heading to orbit, and Sambanova squeezing new life out of aging silicon. Huge thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI for helping businesses actually put AI to work, and Ago Consulting, your experts in silicon development strategy. That's Ago Consulting. If you